Hey guys, Neil here. So this is actually a repeat of an episode that I recorded almost 2 years ago. It's with Derek Dodds, and this is actually one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done. I'm actually re-airing the episode since I originally recorded it when I first launched a podcast quite a while ago, and many of you might not have heard of it. So enjoy the interview. Again, it's with Derek Dodds and definitely one of my favorite interviews. Take care.
Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of the Remote Local Podcast. I'm your host, Neil Parekh, here with my co-host, David. What's going on, David?
Hey, everybody. Excited for this one. Today, we are hosting the one and only Derek Dodds. Neil, why did we want Derek on the podcast?
Sure. So Derek is joining us here on the podcast. We actually met, Derek, did we meet a couple of times? I know we met in Mexico most recently, but I don't know. I think we actually met in Bangkok before. Is that right?
We did. I actually went to your talk in Bangkok, the first one. And so what, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
But I don't think we actually spoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So loosely met, but then in short, Derek is part of entrepreneur community that David and I are also part of called the Dynamite Circle, which is about location, independent entrepreneurs, lifestyle entrepreneurs. So, you know, we've met, although we're not too far from each other, he's in Ojai, California. I'm in Los Angeles. We've met in Bangkok and Mexico. So most recently in Mexico. And what really inspired me a lot about Derek's conversation when I met him recently was just kind of how he thinks about life, how he approaches life. A lot of what he's doing in spirituality as well. It made a lot of sense to have him on the pod and talk about a lot of these things. So Derek, welcome.
Thank you. Stoked to be here.
Yeah. Derek, I would love to hear a little bit about your background. And we haven't talked much about this, but like, where'd you grow up? Like how'd you start off in life?
It's quite a journey, actually. I mean, like all of us, I think we all have unique journeys, right? And so I was born in Orange County and I grew up in Long Beach. And I went to school in Long Beach State, and I studied criminology of all things. And I worked for the feds as a federal officer with a badge and gun.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. For a few years. And they sent me back to graduate school. And I loved being in graduate school so much that I quit.
No.
I quit the feds. And I finished my MPA, which is a master's in public policy administration, which is basically sets you up for management and government or nonprofits or that sort of thing.
Derek, why did you decide to go into the Fed? Like during childhood, were your parents involved in the government or what caused you to want to do that to begin with?
So I grew up with a gun in my hand at age 5, which is crazy because I've been a vegetarian for 30 years now. So my dad put a gun in my hand at 5 years old, and I spent, you know, from 5 until 19 when I had a kind of a slight awakening, basically hunting with my father, you know, fishing, hunting, like, you know, the kind of living an outdoors life. So I was really familiar with guns, and he was a game warden and a forest ranger. So he, you know, like he had kind of implanted this, just love for the outdoors. And even though, you know, as a hunter, now I haven't hunted in a long time, but as a child growing up being a hunter, though you kill the animal, which is, you know, a horrible part from my point of view now, you really get to know, like learn about like the, you know, tracking animals and, you know, what, you know, calling them and sitting for hours, you know, in a field, just waiting for them and watching them. So it's this weird juxtaposition where I am now. I don't condone hunting, but I was given the gift of being really close to animals during that time with my father. So I think that was a lot of it. He basically, he was a big influence in my life, and I probably wanted to be like him, right? And so that's why I lean towards federal law enforcement.
Got it.
That's such a unique story of growing up with a gun in your hand from the age of 5. It sounds crazy to me to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me too now also, right? Because if you were to know the present Derek, and I were to tell you that story, you'd be like, oh, it seems like another person. So
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's...
Yeah, Derek, from there you went to master's, you realized you liked education more than you did working for the feds. So you decided to shift your career, go into something a little bit different.
Yes. And, but I shifted even further. So I finished graduate school and I worked for our university for the first like 6 months right out of graduate school in a program that they had at the university. You know, a lot of graduating seniors end up working at the university. And I'm a longtime surfer, a lifetime surfer, and I always wanted, I had been to Costa Rica at like 19 or something. Mm-hmm. And I had always wanted, I always had this dream to drive to Costa Rica from California and surf all of the beaches, you know, Mexico, Nicaragua, El Salvador, like all these amazing beaches. And so I did it. And right before I left, at the university, I fell in love with this woman, and, she was from Turkey. So we had this, kind of, you know, program where people would come from all over the world and do either graduate work or studying. So I met this woman right before I left for this trip.
And you're still in Southern California at this point?
Yeah, I was still at the university working there, right, planning for this trip. Mm-hmm. And so I go on this trip and I'm gone for, I think I went for 7 months. I basically drove to Costa Rica and if anybody looks at a map, you'll see that that's not a very short drive. I think it's 4,300 miles. And, you know, it's not like American highways, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of gnarly. I was chased in Southern Mexico, you know, by a group of guys with guns. I mean, that's a whole different story.
Yeah. I was about to ask because like, what years were this?
So this is in the like late 90s.
Okay.
And I remember rolling into I think Nicaragua at the time, and there were tanks like all over the place, and here I was, this, you know, like American this
gringo surfer, yeah,
super naive, right? I didn't know anybody that had done that before, and I just wanted to do it. That's all I knew.
Incredible. What were you driving?
So this is the, so getting back to my dad being, just a beautiful angel in my life at many moments. So when I finished graduate school, he bought me as a present, a brand new four-wheel drive Toyota truck, which of course, when I told him I was driving it to Costa Rica, he just flipped. Jeez. He was not happy. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And he was actually the last person I saw before I left. And so that's all. Then the story gets even deeper with him in here. So I take this incredible trip, you know, amazing surfing all the way down, get to Costa Rica. I'm in Costa Rica for a few months and I get this letter, right, from the woman that I had met in California before I left. Mm-hmm. And I get this letter. I'm in Costa Rica, right? I'm in this like weird hostel place, and the letter's a little bit thick. And I open the letter, and there's a round trip ticket to Turkey. So she was from Turkey, right?
Wow.
And so I'm in Costa Rica with my car, and I'm like, but I gotta go, right?
Yeah.
I somebody sends you a round trip ticket, especially when it's a beautiful woman, right, that you think you're in love with, which ended up being a whole another story. I decided to take it. I take her up on it.
Yeah.
And, but the problem was my car, right? Cause I'm 4,500 miles away. So what I ended up doing is I put the car on a cargo ship from Costa Rica back to LA, COD in my dad's name. So I only had to pay for like the onboarding fees of the cargo because I didn't have a ton of money, right? So the truck goes off to Long Beach, and so I don't even tell him, and I get on and I get a plane to Turkey. I had never even been to Europe before. I'd only been to Bali at that point in my life, Bali, in and out of Mexico all my life and Costa Rica. I'd never been to Europe, and I'm getting on the plane to Turkey in a pair of shorts, and it was wintertime, and like one of those Mexican ponchos, right?
Just pure surfer.
Pure surfer, sandals, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So wow. That took me to Europe and really changed my life in a big way.
How were you living in Europe at that point?
So I go to Turkey to be with this woman, mm-hmm. Who ended up being a real, the dynamic was very complicated. That's a whole nother podcast,
but okay.
Just say that, she sent private investigators after me at some point to try to find me and like, yeah, like full on, like, it's complicated. So yeah, anyway, yeah. She took me to Europe, and then I ended up going to Spain and living in Spain for 3 years after that. So
and
I,
what were you doing for work at this time?
So when I got to Spain, I started, teaching at the university in Spain and the MBA program. So it was kind of a beautiful transition. I had always wanted to teach kind of at the collegiate level. So I, when I got to Spain, like they, you know, they loved me, like this American, you know, surfer teaching an MBA program. And it was like a slam dunk. Yeah.
So one question I have for you, Derek, is, you got on a plane, like your life before was in Southern California. You do a short trip. You know, it's going to be temporary over to Costa Rica. You're surfing around. You get a ticket to go to Europe. You're like, this is a great adventure. Let me go there. The adventure continues. You end up in Spain. Many times, myself included, you think, no, I can't live here for 3 years. My life's back in California. Like this is what it is, right? You have a plan in mind. And I think a lot of podcast listeners probably are on the same train. What caused you to say, you know what? I don't have a plan in mind. I feel comfortable with just staying around here in Spain for 3 years. Like, was it a big decision to say, I'm going to do that? Or how did you mentally grapple with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know what? I did have a plan because when I left for Costa Rica, I had a dream. So I have this thing where I have these dreams that I always end up doing. I had a dream where I wanted to travel around the world for a year and not work. And I wanted to go, I was really interested in yoga and meditation. So I wanted to go to India. I wanted to go live in a Buddhist monastery in Nepal. I wanted to go to Australia and surf Australia. I'd never been to Australia. I wanted to go back to Bali. I wanted to go to Thailand. So I had this dream when I went to Europe that I was going to take this trip at some point. So I think that's a really important kind of distinction to make is I didn't like willy nilly go, oh, I'm going to go live in Europe. I was like, I'm going to take this trip at some point. This is my goal. But there are some stepping stones. And one of them was I had to work and earn some money. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did in Europe. And so my three years in Spain was actually 2 years. Then I took that trip and then I went back for a year. So, I did end up taking that trip, which was an amazing trip and in many ways shaped who I am today.
And so the story continues from there. So at that point, you're living in Spain, you're teaching at university, you've got exactly what you want in post-Fed life. You're not a Fed anymore. You're definitely not a Fed anymore.
Yeah.
And you're in the education system. Walk me through the transition from that to entrepreneurship and like just the next phase of your life. And also I would love to hear, like, I almost feel like life moves in buckets. I feel like this whole phase in Europe is maybe one bucket.
I love that.
How do you define that bucket and how you transition to the next bucket of life?
Yeah. I always think about that part of my life is like, you know, in Australia, the Aborigines talk about something called walkabout where it's kind of like a coming of age. I think the American indigenous tribes also have this where you get to a certain age and we've lost it in Western culture. You get to the certain age and you're like kind of, you're pushed out on your own. Like you remove all of the safety net, right? Which we're used to, family, friends, you know, job. And that was my walkabout. I remember getting to Europe and I didn't have any savings or anything, right? I was like, I was just like living, you know, I can remember this. So there was a point probably for 6 months because I wanted to save every single cent I had for this trip. So I remember exactly what I ate to this day. I bought one baguette and I cut it in three. And then I made brown rice with olive oil and garlic. And I had and I had some Manchego cheese, and I like had oats in the morning, and then I would cut that baguette and have one with each meal. And then I would have rice and a cheese sandwich for lunch. And then for dinner, I would have a salad and usually some wine, some red wine.
You are Spanish European, my friend. Like,
yeah, totally.
Straight up, baguettes and wine.
I mean, I eat a lot like that today. I mean, not the same way. It's more extravagant now, but for like six months, I had that kind of regime. And you know, I ended up, well, after 2 years, saving enough money to take this incredible trip around the world and really live my dream. But talking about being an entrepreneur, so I was working at the university, but I was also hustling outside of the university. So mm-hmm. I was getting these, like, you know, I would have a student that wanted extra lessons. So I would go to their home and give them extra, you know, extra lessons and whatever they wanted. And then I remember I even like signed up to teach at this private high school, which was horrible. And, you know, so I was hustling all over the place, and that was very entrepreneurial because mm-hmm. I like putting up ads and, you know, making money under the table. And, you know, so, even though I had a job, that was really the first time when I really realized what it took to start to market yourself. Right. And, you know, just do whatever I could to, I remember I had this kind of cash, you know, bag. I just kept putting cash in there all the time for that trip. Wow. Yeah.
And
I love it. This is so inspiring.
Yeah.
So Derek, walk us through the transition from that. So after Europe, you know, you're there for 3 to 4 years, you did your trip. And I do want to dive into the, I'm assuming on your trip, did you end up making it to India, Nepal?
Yeah.
Okay. I would love to dive into that in a second. I want to know, how did you transition from that to entrepreneurship? Namely, because many times, like, for example, my parents had video rental stores while I was growing up, right? They had, as a local business, there's the kind of entrepreneurial gene in some capacity was there. And a lot of people kind of grew up that way. I'm not sure what your parents did, but like, how did you end up in entrepreneurship? Like you were hustling, but that's different from what you're doing now with pure business ownership.
Yeah. It's interesting. So my grandfather was an entrepreneur, and I grew up with my grandparents, actually, not my parents, even though my dad was in and out. So, but he was kind of done, like he wasn't still in it. So I never had an example, and I was never like, you know, the Gary V guy that was, you know, hustling baseball car. Like I was doing none of that. I played sports growing up. Like that was my main thing. I played water polo and swam and I surfed. Like I never, even when I was in Spain, I wasn't making money to, like, I didn't have this mindset of success. Like I want to make money to be successful. I wanted to be free. Like for me, freedom was taking that trip around the world. And mm-hmm. the money just facilitated that experience. And I think even today, I don't really like business. Like, I mean, I love creativity. Like I love the creative mm-hmm. side of business. But what I love is freedom. Like freedom for me is really the engine, it's the perfume, it's everything that keeps me engaged in the entrepreneurial process. And I also like the people, because I think a lot of people are in it for freedom, even though they might not know it or understand what that means. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for me, like, being an entrepreneur is really about freedom. And the other thing is, I just don't like to work for people. Like I'm a really bad employee, and I don't like people telling me what to do. Like I just don't like, if you're going to tell me what to do, I just like, okay, I quit.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause this echoes a lot of what David always says of like, he's in it for freedom. That's his end goal. That's what he's for. He'd also probably be a terrible employee. So probably very, very, very similar in that aspect. So it's interesting to hear that.
Yeah. Interesting. Very cool.
Beautiful. So Derek, if you can illustrate for us, so what was that journey from traveling around the world and having that experience into into business and pretty much like what you do today?
Yeah. I mean, so on that journey, I spent some time in a Buddhist monastery in Nepal, and it was a silent retreat for a few months. And we were given teachings by a certain Lama, and I came across a teacher called Krishnamurti, Jiddu Krishnamurti, mm-hmm. who was from India, but the theosophists had picked him out to be what's called the world teacher. And so he spent the theosophists kind of adopted him. So he really spent a lot of his formative years in England, and then later in Ojai, which is why I'm here, and India. So he was in the three places. So in this Buddhist monastery, studying Buddhism, I came across Krishnamurti and went really deep into Krishnamurti's work. And his teachings were with me for the next 2 years on my own personal journey. I didn't even know that he was here in Ojai, and I was still living in Spain. So after I got back from my year trip, I went back to Spain because I fell in love with another woman. Seems to be another trend in my life. And so I went back to Spain to be with her. And then one of my best friends asked me to come back and be in his wedding. So I just came back to California for like a month. And I was like, oh, I'm going to like go up to Ojai and check out what these Krishnamurti people are like, right? I just like wanted to meet other people that were doing it. So I rolled up here and never been to Ojai. I grew up in California, never been to Ojai in my life. Rolled up to the foundation here, and I walked in the front door of the kind of public space. And the executive director happened to be there, and normally he's not there. And I walk in, he says, oh, are you here for the job interview? and I was,
you're still technically employed at your place.
I'm not only employed, I'm living in Spain with a then very serious girlfriend apartment, which I had a 1 year lease on in Spain now. Right. I'm like all in on, I'm thinking I'm not going back to the United States. I mean, for see family and friends, but like I'm all in over there. I really thought that was my path. So I walk into this and he's, you know, and I say, oh no, you freak. You know, I'm like, I didn't say that, but I thought in my head, no, I'm just here to self-study, because that's really what his work is really self-study. But he hands me this flyer and I put it in my pocket, and I spend the day doing my own thing. I drive back to San Diego, which is where my friend was hosting me before his wedding, and I pull out the flyer, and as soon as I read it, I was like, this is my next journey.
Wow. This is it. Why did you think that?
You know what? Sometimes you're hit with something so clear. So I read it, and they wanted somebody with publishing experience. They wanted somebody to help open up the market in Latin America and Spain specifically.
Wow.
They wanted somebody with marketing experience. I had written a book. They wanted some, you know, like it had all, it just like was me. So there was no doubt it was me.
Want someone who has previous federal agent experience.
That wasn't on the list. No, but that was it. But that knowledge ended up being very beneficial, because I had to edit the books of some of the other organizations that were fudging some of the money. So
it's interesting
how sometimes your past can come up and be beneficial.
To me, this is a clear case of life clearly organizing for you to be there, and that opportunity to present itself.
Absolutely.
It's so perfect when you look at it.
Absolutely.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I called and I went back for the interview, and he didn't want to give me the job. He didn't want to offer me the job, but I wouldn't let him say no. I was like, you know, like having all my friends and anybody with any kind of authority call and tell them how great I was. And he finally offered me the job. And I remember I called my partner at the time and I said, hey, I'm not coming back to Spain. I said, I'm staying here. And she ended up coming. She was still at university. She ended up coming out a year later, but like gave up my apartment. I didn't even go back for furniture. I was like, just, you know, give it away. And so, and I've been here in Ojai ever since.
Yeah. So you kind of followed life's path, like almost you surrendered to what was happening to you, realized what you should be doing. You ended up moving over there. Your girlfriend at the time came over. So at this point, you're working for this organization. How long were you working there?
15 years.
Wow.
15 years.
And are you still working for them?
I am not. No, okay. I left 6 years ago. And while I was working for them, I really was like an entrepreneur because they, you know, it was a nonprofit. Like they needed all of these specific skill sets that they couldn't afford to get that I wanted to, you know. So, and then I also started my second business while still working there. I started a clothing and retail company called Corazon Organics, which was vegan and eco clothing. I call it back when green was still a color in the early 2000s in Ventura. So that was my first kind of foray into, you know, my full entrepreneurial life. But I was doing both. I had that project and I was working at the foundation, kind of juggling both.
So why start a side hustle? I almost feel like with this job, what you're telling me is, and I'm paraphrasing, you found your calling, you found something you liked, you know, yeah, you felt very driven in it, you feel fulfilled. But at this point, you're still starting a side hustle. Many times people start side hustles if they want to get out of the job, if they want freedom. Why did you start a business?
What I'm learning about myself is I'm addicted to the creative process. Like I love having an idea and creating something that didn't exist before. There's something about that for me that's so fulfilling. And I saw like nobody was really doing like vegan or eco clothing in the area. In fact, there's this the main trade show in fashion is called Magic, and it's in Las Vegas every year. It's twice a year. And I remember the first time I went to Magic, there were like three eco vendors doing, you know, now it's a common thing, but nobody was doing it in the early 2000s. Nobody, and I've always been even a little bit early. I've been a little bit like Wave Tribe. One of my current projects was also like that. I see things almost too early, or I'm an actor. So I see something and I act. And then I jump before I should not jump. Like I should take a little bit more time to care for, kind of market analysis and, you know, is there enough need, you know? So that's definitely been one of my Achilles heels in life. Some would call it a gift.
What businesses do you run right now?
So I currently have, I'm co-founder of a publishing company with my current partner called the 2C's Agency. And that is a literary rights agency. And I come from that, from the Krishnamurti days, because I handled all of Krishnamurti's intellectual rights into the world market. So that was really my professional career was in handling licensing, basically of rights, of copyright, of all of Krishnamurti's work, whether it be digital or, you know, written. So we started an agency. It's been 11 years now. I'm a co-founder, but I've stepped out. I'm just advising on that. So that's one project. Then I have Wave Tribe, which is a ecological surf company, which I started in 2007. And that's kind of my passion project. Like I love surfing. I love ecology. Like, with Corazon, right? It was kind of the beginning of Wave Tribe. I sold that. And then my next evolution was Wave Tribe. And then a few years ago, I started a company called Naked Armor, which is a wet shaving company, which sells basically straight razor kits, scuttles, like anything that has to do with men's shaving, wet shaving market. And then I'm partners in two other small projects, but I won't get into that. Yeah, I'm all over the map, man. I'm all over the map.
I love this, Derek. I see so many resemblances between our stories.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to see and experience. I don't know if you know this, but I'm about to go on a 3-month meditation teacher training in Sedona for Vedic meditation.
Oh, dude, and, awesome.
Yeah, and a little bit of like the opposite story where I went into business first, but now I'm recalibrating, stepping out of some businesses, changing businesses that don't align so much to go deeper into the meditation and service in this way. And so I'm curious, like as you think about what you're doing right now in life, where is your priority? Where is your alignment? And kind of what is your, you know, mission right now?
Yeah, well, that's a big question. So I'm
I can simplify. Like, what are you most excited about?
You don't have to simplify. There. Okay. So I am most interested in my alignment with a higher power, however you want to define that, and how that energy moves through me into my daily life. And I mean, you're kind of getting me at a beautiful time. Last week I sat in a plant ceremony for the weekend here in Santa Barbara, and I had a very powerful experience in which, for the first time in my life, all doubt was removed about my connection to divinity. And that, I know that's a big statement, and I don't know if you guys even want to, you know, talk about that.
I would love to.
Something in my life has always been calling me towards service, and I've always been chasing it, right? I've always been chasing it through a deep intellectual approach. And this is why I was really attracted to Krishnamurti's work, because Krishnamurti's work is very intellectual. It's very heady. It's very male energy, male dominated. And what plant medicine has helped unfold is my connection between my heart and my head. And in fact, in last weekend's ceremony, I had a marriage between the two. So the two are very aligned now, and I'm excited about how that is going to unfold in the next, you know, whatever, the rest of my life. So what I'm most excited about is that business for me is a mechanism to have opportunities and the freedom. So here's freedom again, to really experience these other realms, right? I'm also involved here in Ojai. There's an organization called Meditation Mountain. I'm on the board of that organization, and that organization is a very powerful beacon of light for humanity. And so there's another place where I'm being of service. So yeah, I know when you know, if you're listening to this, you're probably thinking, you know, wow, what's the deal with this guy? I mean, how many things can a person do, you know, in a day?
Derek, I mean, one thing I would love to hear about, and I guess let me take a step back and kind of summarize. One thing I loved you said is, business is basically a tool to fulfill what you actually want to do in life. For every different person, that might mean something different, right? For you, I think that means just getting more connected. That is what you want the freedom to be able to do, and you're utilizing business to be able to do that. That's why you're doing entrepreneurship. I love that. I don't think the business should be your life. It should be the other way. Whatever business you have should be supporting whatever the hell you want to do in life. My question for you is, why do you pick something difficult like business to get into, right? Like it's tough. Right. And some people might say, hey, Derek, why didn't you just stay where you were already at for 15 years, where you're already getting alignment, you're getting paid for that? Is it that you wanted to scratch an itch, or why did you marry business along with that?
Yeah. That's a, I mean, there's a part of me that loves business, right? Okay. So that's got to get back to freedom, right? I'm in control, man. I mean, yeah. I love my life. I absolutely love my life, and I've set my life. I mean, I have a really good team. I've built a great team. Mm-hmm. So for me, the business aspect has enabled me to build a good team that gives me a lot of freedom during my day.
Can you describe your day in the life?
Sure. So might sound kind of boring, but so I get up, I meditate first thing in the morning. And
how long do you meditate for normally?
So since last week, and I've been meditating longer, I use Sam Harris app, meditation app. I love Sam Harris's work. So I've been doing 20 minutes in the morning and then maybe a 20 minutes later at some other point. So not a ton, but I also surf almost every day, and a lot of surfing. Cool. So a lot of people who don't surf don't realize that surfing is mainly sitting. You're basically sitting, waiting for the waves to come. So you might surf an hour and a half, but you know, 85% of that, you're just sitting, looking at the horizon. And so that is another meditation for me.
And the other 14%, you're paddling to,
yeah, get you're back to where you can try to catch the wave that you might miss. Yeah. So, I sit, I journal, I have breakfast with my lovely lady, and I work for maybe an hour or two, and then I go surf. And I surf, and I usually take a walk on the beach after I surf, and then I go to lunch with a friend, because I usually surf with a friend, one of my best friends here in town. And then I roll back around 1:00, and if sometimes I take a nap if I had a vegan burrito that was too filling, which I love. There's a place called Hip. If you ever come to Ohio, you got to go to the Hip.
I'm definitely visiting.
All vegan place. Yeah. And then I go back and I knock out a couple more hours of work. My team starts to come online. A lot of them are either in Europe or in the Philippines. And so they're coming back online. We check in, and then, you know, about 5:00, my mic, you know, crack a beer and start, you know, diving into some crypto stuff and going too far down that rabbit hole. Yeah. And, you know, just do maybe a little bit more work. And then that's kind of it, you know, then hang out and have a beautiful vegan or vegetarian dinner and go to bed pretty early and do it all over.
By the way, man, that doesn't sound boring at all. I think that sounds freaking awesome. Like, are you meditate, surf, yeah, crypto, get some business in for just scratching that itch, repeat. Yeah. That's freaking awesome, man. I love that. I'm curious. David and I were talking about this on the previous episode. It's regarding how, in general, spirituality can actually assist an entrepreneurial journey. So here's a hypothetical situation for you, and it's probably going to be very difficult for you to remove it, but do you think you'd be able to be as successful in business as you are right now without spirituality?
No way.
Why is that?
Well, okay. Much of my practice has to do with taming or watching or being aware of my thoughts and my mind and my reactions. And as one starts to understand, unravel the mechanisms of the mind, then there's less reaction. There's more peace. There's more love. Hey, if we're making decisions from a place of love, I mean, just life is just better, you know, and the people, your employees, your friends, your, you know, just everything, it resonates, has a different resonance and a different vibration. And so, yeah, you could be successful in business if you just steamroll over people and you're spewing hate, but you know, what kind of life will you have at the end of the day? So I'm interested in a life that is, you know, leans heavy on love. And so, yeah, that's...
Yeah. And I want to add to that, Derek, and say that for a lot of entrepreneurs, like you've highlighted, the goal is freedom. But then we realize that there is only a certain level of freedom you can get to through financial means and business. You have very wealthy people who are suffering and in depression, not enjoying their life, and end up feeling not free. And so in many ways, in my opinion, the ultimate freedom actually comes from the inside and the spiritual journey, which also tends to support the external one, because you're able to make better decisions and be more calm and enjoy the process a lot more.
I like that. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, actually, David, I'm curious if you want to dive a little bit more into anything regarding Derek's journey into spirituality, because I think a lot of the listeners might be very interested in why that came up and how that's played a role in their life. So, David, I might let you take the helm on this one.
Yeah, for sure. One of my questions is maybe around, I don't know if this happened in your 3 month stay at the monastery or later on your self-study or in your work together with the organization, but what was kind of like your aha moment into spirituality or awakening, as some people like to say?
Yeah, well, I can tell you the probably one of the most profound ones that I had had nothing was happened before all of that. And it kind of will come full circle back to the beginning, which is my dad put a gun in my hand at five. And I hunted. So I grew up with my grandparents, as I said. So like hunting was my bond to my father, right? That was what we did together. He'd pick me up for opening season and we'd go, you know, do that. And we'd go for months at a time together. And at, I think it was 18 or 19, he and I went out for, opening season in Mexico. My family had a ranch in Mexico and we'd go down for opening quail season. So we'd go hunt quail and we split up and, you know, basically the way you have this this hunting vest on with these bullets and shotgun and, you know, you're basically, you're shooting birds and putting them in the vest and, you know, you're walking around with all of these dead birds in your vest. And, so I shot this bird and, you know, I'd shot thousands and thousands of birds by that time from five to that moment. And I shot a bird. And sometimes if the pellet, so a shotgun shoots basically a group of pellets so that they're all like little BB gun pellets. And if you're too far away from the actual target, it spreads. So those pellets spread, you don't get a clear shot. So I shot a quail out of the air and it wasn't a clear shot. So it was still alive. Okay. So I walked over to the quail and normally what you do is you bend down and you wring the neck of the quail sorry, folks who are listening to this, and I know it hurts, but I have to say it that way, to finish the job, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I walked over to the quail, and I looked down at the quail and it was still alive. And I looked that animal in the eye and I realized for the first time in my life that my actions were about to remove a living thing from the planet, right? I've done it thousands of times before, right? But something happened in that moment. And it's I never thought about it as an awakening, but that's exactly what it was. And that animal, that quail, looked me in the eye and I watched it die. It did die without me touching it. And I buried it, and I had never buried an animal or a bird before. And I walked back to the truck and I waited for my father, and I never touched a gun for hunting again in my life. I did when I entered the feds, but that moment changed the trajectory of my, and a few years later, I became a vegetarian, you know. And I've been one ever since. And so, yeah, that was definitely powerful moment that didn't have any reference point to any spiritual teachings or, you know, ayahuasca journey, or it was just a moment in which I was in full alignment with what was in front of me and sensitive enough, luckily, to be open to the reality, to like pure awareness, I guess you could say. And yeah, amazing time.
Wow. I got total goosebumps and chills when you were sharing that story.
Thank you, man.
Really, really feel you there.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to ask you about surfing as well. Yeah. What is it that you think makes it so you're so in love with surfing and has been through life? And does that have a spiritual connection as well?
For sure. And, you know, like everything in life, it's changed over the years. You know, when I surfed when I was a kid, I was probably surfing to be seen. And then later I competed. And then later, you know, it was like, I was aggressive and wanted all the waves to myself. And so as I've changed as a human being, my relationship to surfing has changed. And so it's been this, I was thinking about this the other day. It's been the one thing that's been most consistent in my whole life. Since I was 9, I've been surfing, you know, consistently. And now it's just like this beautiful expression of nature, right? You know, where I'm in the water. The water is a really important thing for me, whether it's the ocean, a lake, my jacuzzi, you know, like I always want to be in water. Like something about water is really important for me. I have to be in water daily. Mm-hmm. If I'm not in water in one day, I start to get a little weird, like fish out of water in a way. Surfing is just an amazing, you know, it's exercise. So it keeps me fit. You know, you get to be in nature, you get to share it with friends. You get to own a bunch of beautiful surfboards and, you know, play with something in the physical realm. Surfing is just amazing. Don't do it out there though. There's enough people, please. If you haven't started surfing yet, please go kayak.
Yeah. Ohio's the worst place to go surfing.
Ohio's the worst. Don't come to Ventura.
No. Awful waves.
I just started there like 3 years ago. So I think I'm safe. I'm in the category of people who already started.
You're in the tribe. You can come.
I'm in the tribe. But I'm jealous of surfers like you who've surfed for their entire lives. Definitely finding there's a very sharp learning curve. And it definitely feels a lot like a spiritual journey of also getting into this massive ocean. And then, you know, I'm a relatively big guy, but I'm just like this little sparkle of dust that the ocean does whatever it wants to. And it's very humbling.
Yeah.
A very humbling experience.
For sure. And you'll never, after all this time of surfing, I'm still learning every day. That's the other thing I love about surfing. You're always, this is much like entrepreneurship, right? Surfing and entrepreneurship. I mean, think about like, there's always something new to learn. We're always learning. There's always some, you know, marketing trick, copywriting, you know, whatever, product development. There's so much to learn. This is the other thing I think I love about surfing and entrepreneurship is that there's just an infinite body of learning that you could go into. Probably too much. I probably need to focus like more on one particular thing, because as you heard from my, you know, all of the different things I'm doing, I like to do a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Which is something.
So a question about that, Derek. So you mentioned recently feeling like there's been a marriage between your mind and your heart.
Yeah.
And personally, I've found that when I'm feeling distracted or when I spread too thin, it's many times comes from the mind and kind of thinking I should be doing things and, you know, maybe chasing shiny objects. I'm curious if you had any clarity come since about where you want to focus.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I definitely something is brewing. I'm looking at maybe exiting a few projects. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's a really interesting time for me right now. You know, there's something happening in my perspective that wasn't there before my last ceremony. And, we'll see how it evolves. I don't know. I'm less in the chasing mode and more in the, open. I'm open to see how things unfold. And I feel like before I had this anxiety that I had to do. And now I just want to be like I'm being Love is it. More important than doing for me. That doesn't mean I just sit on the couch and, you know, like I space out. Actually, I've been doing a lot of art. So there's a lot of that energy. Instead of being anxious to do, I'm creating. Yeah. It's weird. The energy has just shifted a little bit for me. And not more, not just a little bit, a lot actually. we'll see how it goes, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, Derek, I know we are getting up on the time for this. So thank you very much for your time today. I think the coolest part, actually, when I was reflecting on this call, is we barely talked about business, but I think that's how it should be, right? That's the whole point of kind of this, what we're talking about here in this conversation mm-hmm. with you. And a lot of what I've learned from you, Derek, is business is simply a tool to have the type of life you want. And I think you've cultivated the type of life you want through the help of business, but also just through spirituality, through being open and being in alignment with what you're actually looking for in life and taking those signs. And I think that's really, really cool. So thank you for sharing your story.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed hanging out with you in Mexico, and please come to Ohio whenever you want, and we'll hang Definitely. Out. And you too, Dave. I know you're coming to Arizona, so you mm-hmm. know, try to add a little if you can. You're welcome to stay at the house, and I'll take you surfing and throw you in the water a little bit. So
thank you so much. I would love to.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right, guys. For everyone listening, this is another episode of the Remote Local Podcast. We'll catch you next week.
Oh, before we sign off, Neil,
yes.
Derek, where can our listeners find you and learn more about you?
Yes.
Yes. So at Derek Dodds is my personal, or at Wave Tribe is kind of, if you're into surfing, that's the other place to go. Would love to hear from you and just ping me. Yeah.
Perfect.
Amazing.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you so much, Derek. Such a pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks again for listening, guys. There are two ways I could help you out. Number one is with May This Franchise. If you want to get into business but don't want to go at it alone, we have you covered with everything from A to Z. Check out madethisfranchise.com to start your own remote local business. The next is with the Remote Local Blueprint, which is a course I launched to teach you the foundations of starting your own remote local business in any niche. It's do it yourself at your own pace, and you can check that out at blueprint.beremotelocal.com.